interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National Guard...
First time, we are bringing you the full story of what happened. We are giving you all the evidence based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it. We go in the field to investigate. Hey, here's a creepy story from Russia. They say some truly unsettling video footage filmed by a Russian man shows the bodies, including three-year-olds he exhumed, sitting around his house in bizarre costumes. This man actually visited more than 700 cemeteries, dug up 150 graves so he could dress the corpses of dozens of young girls for birthday parties. The Russian man removed the bodies of the girls between 3 and 12 to fulfill his twisted fantasies, and he then took them home and turned them into a grisly mummy collection, dressing the bodies and skeletons in stockings and dresses, and even making one look like a teddy bear. The man, who speaks 13 languages, was described by some as a genius, and he also gave the mummified corpses names, organizing these parties for them. The video made by the man shows this corridor he lived in cluttered with wedding dresses and bright, colorful clothes. In a room there with all these mummies, the camera zooms in on the faces of the girls wrapped in light beige fabric. And his voiceover in the video says, quote, "These dolls are made of mummified human remains," end quote. Police said the man had also compiled up-to-date information about the lives of each girl he had dug up, and also printed off instructions from his computer on how to produce dolls out of human remains. To show you just how weird this guy was, he also drank from puddles, spent nights in haystacks or abandoned farms, and once even slept in a coffin readied for a funeral. He apparently had written a published piece on necrology, and he said that when he was 12, he came across a funeral procession whose participants forced him to kiss the face of a dead 11-year-old girl, and that was the seed that grew into his interest in the occult. How messed up is that? Well,
drinking from puddles.
How dare he? That's what we talk about on this show, my friends. Maybe it's your cup of tea, maybe not, but we are thankful that you have decided to join us as we dig into all kinds of bizarre material. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations, and my producer and engineer is Sam, the animal steel. You made it back in one piece, Sam.
I did, and I drank from puddles.
Is that what it took?
And I made dolls with corpses.
One very big puddle. Did you drink salt water on your trip, your excursion, your voyage?
Nope. That'll dehydrate you. Yeah. Don't say, you know, it's all that water.
So you did it. You helped man a yacht all the way from Rhode Island?
Well, it was actually in New York when I got there.
Oh, okay.
And the plan was New York to Miami would have been the full run.
Mm-hmm.
First week was a wash. Literally, I sat in the guest house and watched TV and Netflix for a week because that hurricane was off a thousand miles off the coast, making winds very high and stuff like that. So the seas were rough, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
They were angry like an old man returning coffee.
Yes.
Soup. And so I made it. We ended up making it from New York down to coastal Carolina, and that's when I had to jump off and rent a car and drive back from Elizabeth City, North Carolina. But we did in 2 days, 3 hours from New York to North Carolina. So it's pretty good.
Would you consider it a positive experience or?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, it was sketchy at times. It was rough seas when you got to the coastal waterway. You know, we went past the naval station at Norfolk.
Mm-hmm.
Saw, like, the stealth boat, which was awesome.
Hmm.
Yeah. Heavily secured up in there. Heavily secured. But, like, you got to go super slow. And it's literally a channel like the size of a bowling alley lane.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks huge at some points. It looks like an ocean. But, like, one little dredge channel is deep enough for a boat, and everything else is, like, a foot or two deep. So there was a lot of hairy winds blowing, a lot of hairy spots where we were, like, well too shallow. And I didn't care. I thought it was fun. It's not my super expensive boat. You
mm-hmm.
know. So I'm like, woo! We made it! And he's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh,
right.
My God. We were in, like, less than a foot of water. You could feel it sinking in.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good.
Oh,
not
that's
good.
That's incredible.
3 foot waves on the intercoastal waterway. That was the wind was blowing 30 knots. There was a gale force warning. But I thought that was exciting. But once again, not my boat to mess up. So
now, when you say stealth boat, does this look like a stealth fighter?
Yeah.
Except it's a boat.
You remember when the stealth fighter had come out and, like, we first got images of it? And
yeah.
It was like, what is that? And there's all those weird angles.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, but a boat. And they had, like, some sections of it blocked off, you know, where they were working on it so you couldn't see. And he was like, do not take pictures. Seriously, don't take pictures. They will get on your boat.
Mm-hmm.
And the boat behind us got boarded. I heard pull to port, we're boarding the vessel. Turns out what the guy said was, we're passing you on the port and boarding the vessel behind us. My heart was kind of skipping a little bit.
Yeah.
Not that there would have been anything on the boat we wouldn't have wanted them to find.
Sure, just you.
Just me. But still, yeah. It was like, you got dudes with M50s on the front of the little dinghies or whatever. That's kind of intimidating. They had drones and they had buoy cameras and
they like sneeze and you're toast. Everything is an inferno.
Everything is government property. I'm like, I don't think they want us on here. It's like property of U.S. government. Do not trespass.
Wow. So Shelly Wright, investigators.
Shelly Wright, what's up?
Of Wright's Coin Shop. You're in the studio tonight. What's the most time you've ever spent on the water?
Oh my goodness. I think maybe a weekend on the Chesapeake Bay or something sailing, and it was not good.
You're just copying Sam, are you?
Very
murky.
It was very, very choppy. It was awful. I get seasick, but didn't realize it, and it was horrible. Horrible. Nothing like Sam's experience.
A lot of time to reflect. A lot of time to think.
Did you read my novel?
I got about a quarter or halfway through.
Well, what a glowing review that is. It was a real page-turner.
I didn't have as much time to read as I would have liked.
That explains it. You just sat around for a week and watched Netflix instead of reading my epic literary masterpiece.
I told you I got at least a quarter of the way through.
The Evil in Asheville.
The Evil in Asheville.
Well, welcome back, Sam. We are delighted that you did not get swept away into some Bermuda Triangle-esque...
Which I've always wanted to go check out.
Well, you know.
You're in the base.
I can make this happen.
I know.
I happen to own the Bermuda Triangle Research Base.
Have you been in the Triangle for an extended period of time? Do you think that there, if you were to go out there, that there is a possibility that you might not come back?
Yeah, there's always a possibility, yeah.
I mean, not just because of, like, you know, a boat issue, but, I mean, like, a strange happening. And if so, what do you actually think that the reason is?
I've seen compasses spin around. That's pretty weird. I mean, as simple as that is, what makes a compass spin? Well, for one thing, that's going to obviously screw up your navigation, but there is some kind of an electromagnetic anomaly that is intermittent that appears to sometimes materialize in that area. And, you know, when you're out there on the ocean, you can have all the technology in the world, but in a split second, Mother Nature can just swallow you up and drag you right down to the murky depths.
Oh, yeah.
And then you feel that intensely when you're out there, and suddenly things begin to happen that are not supposed to happen. So there is a real risk. But to me, it's kind of like the risk of being in Oklahoma in Tornado Alley. Most of the time, you're not going to see a tornado. But when it happens, it's bad news.
Do you think it's just a Earth thing? Do you think it's the Mayan power station?
I think it's an Earth. It's sort of like an outlet for Earth energy, is what I would think. That there is it's kind of like a circuit or it's a power spot, a vortex, a portal. And when I say that, I don't mean that in a metaphysical way. I mean that in a very physical way, that there actually is some kind of current of electricity that is expelled from planet Earth at that spot. And it changes the way that we experience the laws of physics, and also changes not just what we perceive, but possibly even the literal boundaries between this dimension and other dimensions, which is actually very fitting because we're going to talk some about Samhain tonight. Samhain just ended. Samhain is sunset October 31st to sunset November 1st. And it is what is called a liminal period. Do you know what liminal means?
L-E-M or U-M?
L-I-M. L-I-M-I-N-A-L. It's a very interesting concept that we're going to dig into tonight. Well, I would imagine it is from the Latin, yeah. And by the way, I can't see where we are on time here, Sam.
About 30 seconds.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. My goodness. All right. Well, in that case, let me just also say, hour number two, we're going to be joined by Grandmaster Tom Cameron, our buddy who's the closest thing to Darth Vader / Luke Skywalker, but they're all Skywalkers, really, that we know, and he has a huge announcement that he's going to break on the show tonight. It's extremely exciting, not just for him, but for me as well. So this is a very interesting show, my friends. We're going to talk about reality and other dimensions and how we are going to train the senses to open to these other experiences. And plus, oh, what a host of weird news I have. When we come back, listen to this headline. Humanoid UFO. Let me repeat that. Humanoid UFO baffles pilots and aviation experts. This is a new story that's just now been released, a new report. This is really, really weird. We're going to dig into that and a lot of other strange stuff when we come back. It's the program where we talk about the amazing, the extraordinary, and the downright strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop, and it's called Speaking of Strange.
If you would only say you care. And though my pocket may be empty, I'd be a millionaire. My clothes may still be torn and tattered, but in my heart I'd be a king. Your love is all that ever mattered. It's everything. So open your arms and you'll open the door to every treasure that I'm hoping for. Hold me and kiss me and tell me you're mine evermore.
From the heart of the Blue Ridge Mountains, Asheville, North Carolina, land of the sky. I am your host, the Wizard of Weird, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, presented by Wright's Coin Shop. And you may call Wright's Coin Shop at 828-298-5402. They've been in business over 40 years. And if you like this show, well, you're going to like the people at Wright's Coin Shop. Again, that's 828-298-5402. So much weird stuff is happening. And, of course, now that Halloween is over, you may feel a little burnt out on strange stuff, but actually it's just the opposite. We have switched now into the new era of darkness. That's what Halloween is all about. In fact, we're going to talk some more about that later, this transitional period that the ancient Gaelic Celts called Samhain. It's actually spelled S-A-M-H-A-I-N, so you might think it's Samhain, like the rock group, but it's actually Samhain. That's how it's pronounced. And so all kinds of odd stuff is really picking up in the world. And mind you now, if you go to speakingofstrange.com, you'll find links to some of this stuff, including, well, a chat room, a live chat during the show, and more information on topics discussed. You'll find a link to Wright's Coin Shop, as well as the Haunted Asheville Ghost Tours. And, yes, October was our big month, but November and December are also really big months, because if there's any doubt that Christmas and ghosts go together, well, just look at what Charles Dickens demonstrated. He wrote what may be the most famous ghost story ever, and it was about Christmas.
Might I interject about the ghost tour? Me and Shelley Wright. It was my first time doing the ghost tour a couple weeks ago when you did the one.
Mm-hmm.
I learned a lot. And, you know, other than the carloads of drunk teenagers, which are really annoying, like, oh, look at these people learning. I'm like, yeah. I'm learning.
Yeah.
That's kind of neat. I don't know. I'm learning about the church, the basilica.
Yes.
St. Lawrence didn't know, the patron saint of comedians and or chefs.
Yeah, isn't that odd?
And then how many weird things happened that night that I knew weren't scheduled. I knew that you would not have taken the time or effort to plan those.
Yeah.
And then everybody else probably was like, oh, he wink, wink, nudge, nudge. They were not planned.
No.
Three very strange occurrences that night.
Yep, that's right. And that's the fun thing about doing this in downtown Asheville late at night. Asheville is like Forrest Gump's box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get, and sometimes the right thing happens at the right time, and it's you can just count on it. There's always going to be a good show in addition to what we provide.
And I didn't know a lot of those things, and when we went up into the back of Zombra when that gate was open, that's a kind of a spooky story up in there.
Yeah, it is.
And I think that that's legit, and I think that that's probably the scariest part of the whole thing is just because that's like evil.
Yeah, that's the one, like, really dark story. And I don't even tell that on all the tours. It just depends. I have to feel the mood of the crowd.
That dude who came up the stairs behind you and was just like, he's wearing the scream mask and he just shows up.
Yeah, you would think that I arranged all that, but no.
No, you didn't.
No, I didn't. I'm not willing to pay anybody for that. I don't have to. It's already there. So, okay, well, here's a story, a report that I've just been made aware of. It just recently came out. Now, this is quite bizarre. It is about an incident that actually happened last summer. It occurred on June 13th of 2014. It says here that pilots of a passenger plane were caught off guard when a, quote, flying man, end quote, flying man flew across the side of their plane at 3,500 feet above the English town of Macclesfield. The plane was an Airbus 320. It was actually making its landing approach at the Manchester airport when the pilot saw the flying man zipping through the sky within about 328 feet of the plane. Now, the pilots initially thought the individual might be like a paraglider or something, but the witnesses did not see a canopy. They reported this to air traffic control, but they said the UFO, as they're calling it, did not appear on radar. Now, this was taken very seriously. The incident was investigated by the UK Airprox Board. Now, this is a group tasked with reviewing near-miss reports. And they revealed that there were no paragliders, parachutists, or balloonists in the area at the time of the incident. According to one representative there at the Hang Gliding and Paragliding Association, they say the weather conditions at the time would have, quote, made it impossible for a lone flyer to be in the area, end quote. They also say that there was no way, given conditions, this could be a person-shaped balloon. So the board has agreed that it's unfortunate that there was really no information that could lead them to identifying this unknown object. And I imagine that if the movie Superman were real, this is how it would start out. Right?
If?
People would just start seeing a flying man. He's going to be too humble to go straight to the newspaper office and say, "Hi, everybody. I'm Superman. I have amazing abilities and skills. I'm going to start fighting crime." No, you would just start getting glimpses of him around town. This guy, apparently, this flying man has not done anything that is particularly heroic that I'm aware of. But this is not, by a long shot, the first time that a flying humanoid has ever been seen. There are plenty of amazing videos out there on the internet that I've been looking at for years showing flying humanoids. Some of the best have been from Mexico City, Mexico. There have been occasions where literally hundreds of people have been on the street craning their necks back, looking into the sky, just like Superman is flying over, and shooting video of what appear to be not only flying figures, but flying with a cape on, that sort of thing.
It's really just the cartels throwing people out of the planes.
That would explain quite a few. You're probably right about that. That'd be a funny way to kill somebody, wouldn't it?
They're very creative.
But, you know, now the drone thing is making it even more confusing to deal with UFOs. I recently saw a video, if I can find it, we'll put it on the website, perfect for Halloween time. Some guy bought a drone and draped a Grim Reaper costume over the drone. And you can't see the drone at all. All you see is this big, horrific Grim Reaper just flying around and scaring the crap out of people. They're running as fast as they can from this thing. So, yes, it's becoming more and more difficult to determine what a UFO may be.
Did you see South Park this past week?
No, I missed it.
It was all about drones.
Oh, okay.
I love how, like, they can do something very topical.
Oh, yeah.
And it really brings up social issues. It's not just crude or stupid, or it's funny and all that, but it's also, you're like, wow, these are very realistic thoughts of privacy.
Well, a good friend of mine, he just bought a drone, and I'm not sure how much he paid, but I understand he paid quite a bit.
A hobby shop one, or like a pretty legit?
Like a real, enough that, you know, his wife didn't like it, that he spent this much money. And so, but this drone has got a high-definition camera on it, and he has been showing me some of the footage that this thing is getting, and it's incredible.
For $299 at the hobby shop, you can get one that will go to your iPhone or Android device. You can control it with your phone. It's got HD 1080p recording capabilities, DVR built in for $299.
That is insane. And you know, now you can just fly it right up to the window of a 30-story building and just peek in there at Shelley Wright, you know, getting dressed.
That's what happened in South Park. There was,
is that right?
there was an incident.
Well, eventually there will be more, you know, restriction on this, legally speaking. But for now, it has kind of opened a whole new era of Wild West when it comes to UFO analysis, because at least in the past, when remote control stuff was available, you really needed some skill to fly it.
And you do with these too, really.
Well, actually, you can sit down with a little GPS application, and you can plot the whole course of the thing out and set it to remote control and automate its own flight path.
It doesn't account for wind. Doesn't account for several things. And if you're going to go far, you have to be trailing. A lot of them need pilots, like the legit. They need pilots.
Most of these guys are just sending it out. Peek in Shelley Wright's window is an actual button on the app.
It's also an actual website. Yeah. As well.
You hit the button, and it knows what to do. Okay, well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, some are saying it's no laughing matter. Are you one of these people who is afraid of clowns? Well, clown terror has been spreading in one particular place where I will explain when we return. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual, brought to you tonight by Wright's Coin Shop. It's called Speaking of Strange. Irresistible grass. Can't keep my eyes from the circling sky. Tongue-tied, twisted, just an earthbound history. We're just finishing off a Samhain here. We're going to tell you more about what that means later. Welcome back to Speaking of Strange. You know what, guys? I've decided to pick up a new hobby.
Needlepoint.
And it's not that I have that much time on my hands, but I've always felt playing music was therapeutic. And I have played the piano since I was, in my middle school, I guess. And but I travel a lot, and it's kind of hard to carry a piano around with you, and little keyboards and stuff just aren't the same. Even a guitar is quite cumbersome. But recently, a good friend of mine, I won't use his name on the air without his permission, just in case he doesn't want me to, but a good friend of mine introduced me to Native American flute.
Oh, dear God.
Wow. What a reaction from you guys.
I think that, you know, it's a lot more therapeutic to shake up coin collecting.
Well, you know, the flute.
Native American flute.
Yeah, it's like that big. It's only like a couple feet long.
Sam Fear P. Warren.
Oh.
If I could only be so lucky, yes, to fill an auditorium. I heard a rendition played, and I thought, wow, this is very nice and peaceful, and it's a convenient instrument. And he told me that for him, it's just been life-changing. It's made his life so less stressful. So I actually, he gets his flutes from from a man in New Mexico who's a Native American. He's an expert flute maker, and he handcrafts each one of these. And so I bought a flute, and he's carving right now as we speak in New Mexico. A Native American is ceremoniously carving this magical flute for me. And in like 2 weeks, it's going to be shipped, and then I will have to pick up flute playing.
How does Mrs. Warren feel about this?
Believe it or not, she actually is fine with it. She says, her quote was, better than the harmonica.
Oh.
That was literally her response.
Coin collecting. It's quiet. It's
maybe
it is therapeutic.
You're that guy at a party who like brings the djembe. You're like, hey everybody, want to hear me play the pan flute?
Maybe I'll have the skill to bring it in here one day, and
I can bring in a guitar. We can jam
and make you cry, but for good reasons, because I touch you so deeply as I play the flute.
Please don't touch me.
Coin collecting.
There's another term I could use, but it's not the dark 30 hour. you just never know. It might transform your lives. But hearing Enigma played there made me think, well, I could probably... That's got a little flute action going on in there.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Maybe I'll...
Some Gregorian chants, too. You taking that up as well?
I've kind of done that already.
Been so, there.
Yeah. Here's another interesting news story. This is also from the UK. Any Star Wars fans here?
Star Trek fan?
Any of that stuff?
Star Trek.
We all know what a tractor beam is. It draws the ship in. Well, a new experiment has actually broken a record for the distance that a tractor beam can operate, a real tractor beam. Scientists have created one that can drag objects distances up to 20 centimeters. Is there a ruler around here?
Oh, actually.
We're Americans. We don't know exactly.
It's only inches, though.
It doesn't have centimeters on it?
No.
Really?
No.
I don't think I've ever seen a ruler that didn't
have
centimeters, too.
Oh, huh.
It's only inches. That is a total American ruler right there. All right, well, 20 centimeters, you know, it's not that far, but they say it's around 100 times further than in previous experiments. They're using what they call a donut-shaped laser, and they say it's reversible, so it can also repel objects in addition to attracting them. And they're claiming in the future these beams could be used to study atmospheric pollutants or to retrieve delicate particles of material for examination. Previous tractor beam experiments used the momentum of light particles or photons to impart motion, but this latest device relies on the energy of the laser heating up the particles in the air around them. So that's pretty cool. I mean,
what would be a practical application?
Well, they are saying you could, for example, take something that's a pollutant in an environment and push it away. Or you could drag a Jedi into your corridor.
I did see something about the scientist who had, like, you know, in Star Trek, that taking the technologies present there and saying in real life, what would happen if you tried to transport a person from point A to point B? And basically, it wouldn't work very well. Hmm. It would jumble up all your DNA and
right
be all gooey.
Well, they are saying, and this is from the BBC now, that all the researchers claim this effect can easily be scaled up. So, I imagine any time you're playing with this sort of thing, it's probably better to do it with inanimate objects. I don't know if you want to be tractor beamed to China. Okay, I recently was on Coast to Coast AM. I go on there a lot, and I was on October the 24th, the night of the 24th, and I was talking about Robert the Haunted Doll. I have a new PDF out.
Sent me the email.
Have you read that?
I saw the email. I've been busy.
No more free books for you, Sam.
I thought it was an actual paper doll, like, cutout, and I was all excited.
What? You thought I'd sent you a paper cutout doll?
Well, it said Robert the Doll.
Maybe I should do that. Keep
told
talking.
You should have Speaking of
keep
Strange
talking.
Paper Dolls on the website.
So you're saying I should actually sell a Robert cutout?
No, sell a Joshua P. Warren and a Shelley Wright paper doll and dress them up, and you could have your investigating kit that your sister bought you. And
okay.
Yeah. That's cute.
Thank you.
You had
like
me,
it.
Then you lost me, Sam.
Whatever.
Okay, well, I was on the show talking about Robert the Haunted Doll, and George says, Joshua, what do you think of clown dolls? And because I know George is afraid of clowns.
There's a term for that I can't think of. At
yeah. And my response was something like, honestly, I don't have a big fear of clowns. I don't like clowns, but I don't fear them. Maybe that's because that, you know, I've never had a relative murdered by a clown, for example. But.
Horophobia.
Yeah. What is it? Horophobia?
C-O-U-L-R-O-phobia. Coulrophobia.
Coulrophobia. Okay. Well, and of course, you've got It.
Watched that today.
That was scary.
I watched that today.
Except for
just
the last episode. Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Good.
And John Wayne Gacy.
Pogo the Clown.
Yeah. But some people are really taking advantage of this clown paranoia. And they say, particularly in France, a wave of panic sparked by evil clowns stalking French towns has spread to the south of France, where police on Saturday arrested 14 teenagers dressed as zombie clowns carrying pistols, knives, and baseball bats. They say that they were apparently just running all over town, committing a variety of robberies and crimes, and that this trend has already seen a bit of action in the U.S. and Britain. There are a variety of videos out there. It says here, whether brandishing a rubber chicken at a children's party or starring as the evil protagonist in a horror film, clowns have long had the ability to both entertain and terrify.
Don't you have a friend that dresses up like a clown?
I do, yes. But he does it with extreme pleasure and joy.
Oh, he's entertaining the girls and boys.
He certainly is. He's not robbing anybody except of their pride. Let's put it that way.
My boss at the other station down the hall
yeah.
is terrified of clowns.
Is that right?
Terrified of them. He will not go anywhere near them.
What were you for Halloween, Sam?
I don't partake in that pagan holiday. I just sit inside and watch Halloween movies. I like Michael Myers.
Mm-hmm.
I like the music. Even Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. It's okay.
Yeah.
2 more days to Halloween, Silver Shamrock. I didn't do anything. I don't dress up. I'm a party pooper. Mm-hmm. I never do. I hate people.
Hmm. Somehow I think you're kind of like that clown who's got the tear running down
the
his cheek.
The sad clown.
You're the sad. Yeah, because I know that you really do like people a lot, but
you hit the nail on the head.
You're just lonely.
I am.
Listen to the bagpipes. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, well, everybody's talking about Ebola.
Mm.
Well, here is a twist on Ebola. Ebola is now the brand name of a certain item. What in the world would be branded these days as Ebola to help it sell? Well, I'll tell you when we come back. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. And you can find a link at speakingofstrange.com because this show is called Speaking of Strange.
They only come a town about twice a year. We'll be right back.
minutes of hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange. I am Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. And next hour, we are going to have, well, one of my favorite guests, my great friend, the Grandmaster himself, Tom Cameron. And he is the human stun gun, and he's got a big announcement tonight. I'm very excited about it because, you know, it might kind of include me a little bit as well. So he's going to be on the show, joining us from Chicago. We're going to get his announcement, and then hopefully he'll be able to stick around long enough for us to include him in a discussion we're going to have about Samhain and about the relationship between not only the mind and the body and the environment, but also dimensions that contain beings, spirits, and how close we may be able to get to them and interact with them at certain times known as liminal times. And, of course, if you are interested in spooky things, ghosts and whatnot, go to joshuapwarren.com. There's no period after the P. Go to joshuapwarren.com. Scroll down there to a section called World's Wildest Ghost Photos. These are some of the most intriguing, incredible images and video clips of ghosts that I have personally selected to present. And you can also check out my new PDF about Robert the Haunted Doll. So, I mentioned that, well, most of us are trying to avoid this Ebola hysteria. Well, some people are embracing it. It actually has become the brand name, Ebola brand of heroin.
Huh.
Yeah. They say, apparently, police around Toms River, New Jersey, arrested a 47-year-old man. They allegedly discovered had 633 wax folds of heroin.
Bindles.
With the trademark stamp, Ebola. Investigators said they got a tip about drug dealing in that area, and they got a warrant, and they found him at the Ramada Inn. Now, of course, they say this doesn't actually contain the deadly virus. It's just a very popular name, apparently, for this particular strain of heroin. Different dealers have different potencies and products. In the past, they have been called Bin Laden. That was one. Hello Kitty. DOA. Twin Towers. 9/11. Gumball. POW, etc. And this dealer, known as the Hammer by some, he's been charged with all kinds of things and taken to jail in lieu of $300,000.
Do you know why they do that?
Why they label them?
Well, with a brand of, you know, deadly names. Because if you want, it gets a good street rep.
Of course.
If somebody dies, that means it's good. So
yeah.
Then more people want it because it's strong.
Absolutely. It's badass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well,
guerrilla marketing.
In related sort of maybe negative marketing news, here's a story from Geneva, Switzerland. A leading Swiss supermarket chain is apologizing for what it calls an unforgivable blunder, distributing many containers of coffee cream bearing portraits of Adolf Hitler and Benito Mussolini. They say that this company is immediately withdrawing boxes containing thousands of these containers. And apparently they have been working with a Swiss company that does a series of collectible portraits, including likenesses of, Hitler and Mussolini. And in a statement Wednesday, the company described this as an internal failure and vowed to tighten their controls for the products drastically.
You said it was on a creamer?
Yeah, this is coffee cream.
In what country?
This is in Switzerland. Yeah. Hey, you know what? Before we go to this break, I just want to let everybody know that obviously this is a very, very busy time of year for me and with Halloween. But it doesn't just stop. this week there is a TV crew coming down here from New York.
Ooh.
And and they're going to be shooting a great deal of material with me. I am not allowed to talk about what exactly we're doing, but I will say this. If any of you listening to this show happen to know somebody who is a practitioner of curses, meaning someone who has no problem cursing people, and I mean formally, formally cursing people, I'd like to talk to you. So, actually, maybe talk is not the right word. I'm not going to be available for much talking, but if you go to joshuapwarren.com and scroll, you'll find an email for me. Actually, I believe you can just email contact@joshuapwarren.com, and it will get to me.
You think you might have to have your producer around for one of these TV cameras?
It's certainly possible.
Sam the Animal Steel?
Are you good at cursing people?
I look good on TV.
You're too tall, man. They can't fit you on camera all at once.
I'll just sit.
They either show you from the knees down or the waist to the knees.
I'm surprised you didn't take an easy pot shot about me on my knees there.
It's always scan and pan whenever somebody's trying to shoot Sam the Animal Steel. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, yes, we will have the human stun gun. Grandmaster Tom Cameron joining us from Chicago with a very interesting update. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop here in Asheville, North Carolina. It's called Speaking of Strange.